Hey, everybody. Welcome to this brand new episode of Digital Drift. My name is Francis. I'm co-founder at ProWalk, and I'm super excited to be on this episode because we have a different kind of guest. And thanks to my co-host, Antonia Annie, for suggesting. Hi, Antonia.
Hi, Francis. It's nice to be on the show again. I'm particularly happy because we have our first woman and designer. So, yeah, vested interest in that.
So we have Mode Adeniroku from Mode. Mode, hi.
Yeah.
How are
you doing? Hi. Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
I mean, you've been around for a while, Mode. I mean, everybody knows Studio Mode, and now you're transforming, rebranding to Mode, right?
Right. Everybody knows. I don't know. Everybody knows, but thank you. We're rebranding to Mode.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's better because the first time I heard Studio of, you know, Mode, I actually pronounced it Studio of Mode, and someone was like, what? But I mean,
I don't know. Most people say that for some reason. I don't know. There's the accent there. I don't understand why people say Mode. But yeah. With time, people will get it as Mode.
Yes. Yeah, it's good to have you on this show. So on Digital Drift, we talk about entrepreneurs, especially we've been talking a lot around tech. And that's why I would say this episode is very interesting because art inspires technology, you know, technology inspires art, you know, that kind of stuff. So I don't know if you could share with us how you started the whole artistic journey and, you know, how you got to where you are now that, you know, everyone's like, you know, looking up to your work.
It kind of came, it was a evolution, I guess. It was something that evolved to this. All my life, I wasn't thinking I'm going to be an artist or anything. It was more that I wanted to own a business and things, but I didn't know in what field per se in any way and things. So it was when, like, I had this like a mistake exhibition that just fell on top of my lap that I then like saw, and people were really, really like praising my art and things. I was like, oh, I can actually be an artist, you know. I'm very like, I guess, how do I say it? My motto or what speaks to me, I would say, is the fact that I believe like everybody should be able to get in contact with my art or art in general. So it shouldn't be just for people that can buy it, like buy the original work on the wall and things. I thought I was trying to figure out a way to like get art in people's homes, in like with kids, with like young adults, you know, any kind of person, as long as they connect with the art. And that's how the phone cases and the iPad skins and tote bags and things came to that, and that's how I guess I started the business.
Cool. Yeah. Well, what's your background? What did you do in school, and how did you?
I studied animation and visual effects at Academy of Arts in California.
That sounds like something very deep.
As in, how's it deep?
I don't know, animation, visual effects, I mean, they're very big, right?
I guess it's heavy, I guess. I don't know what you mean by deep. Okay. It's his work, I guess. Like, I'm trying to figure out like what deep means.
But it seems like you've always been drawn to the art design world, basically. I mean, for you to have...
As a child, I didn't realize it until like you know what they say about, okay, you won't understand when you're just doing something, but when you look back, you then okay, that makes sense. Because I used to write stories as a child, I used to draw cartoons as a child, so I was a very artistic child and things, but like I kind of stopped doing it because I was just like, oh, what am I using for, whatever. But I still drew and wrote, you know, as in like throughout my life, but I never considered it as something I could do. But when I then saw like the 3D animation, I found out about 3D animation, like Toy Story and Finding Nemo and things. I was like, ooh, I can do that. Do you get what I'm saying? Like I was good at computers in school and good at art. I wouldn't even say I was good at art, but I really liked art. When I found that there's a way to combine it, that's how the 3D animation and the animation, I studied it from that. But then afterwards, I started to see, like, I didn't really enjoy 3D animation. I preferred, like, paint. I like, with, how do I say, with 3D animation, you're always on the computer. You're not really drawing. You get, like, you're drawing on the computer, but you're not physically drawing. And I really like the idea of physically drawing. And that's what even drew me more into 2D animation. So I can do some 2D animation. But now I get to paint, and I really like painting and things. So who knows? I might go back to animation later on, but I don't know. Yeah. Sorry, cool. Long story.
It's fine. It's good to know, you know, just what people's journeys are to where they are. Yeah. I'm also interested in how setting up a business in Nigeria is, especially this kind of business, because it seems like most people are, when the step of business is usually buying and selling, or, you know, just something not to do with art in a sense. And in my mind, personally, I feel like people who do art will struggle a lot more than most other people. I just wonder, from your perspective and how long you've been going on, what are the key things you've learned, and, you know, what were the hurdles you had to get through, and what's the reception like now?
I think for art in general, anywhere is a struggle. I don't want to pinpoint Nigeria and everything. Yeah, Nigeria has this all, like, how do I say, like generator light issues and things like that. But excluding that thing, it's still going to be hard, even if I was like in like America and things, because even in America, things are oversaturated. Who's going to look at you? Do you understand? Like, so everywhere is a struggle, I would say. Okay. I think I even got more of a reception, easier reception here than I was when I was in the States. Well, I can say the hurdles and stuff, like, for me, I'm still learning. I started in 2012. It's really, really just the beginning. And I am still, I think it's just more awareness and people trying to understand what the company stands for, you know, connection with the people is the hurdle for any, like, for art. Because art, especially what I guess mine is more like fine arts, and fine arts is about intellectual stimulation and things. And that's something that cannot be seen and touched per se. Do you get what I'm saying? It's about the mind. Okay. You understand what I'm saying? So for people to understand that intellectual thing, sorry, like stimulation about it, that's where you get people. That's where you get the hearts of people. Like Apple, you understand that it owes the artistic, you know, of the brand to, like, fashion designers. You get what I'm saying? Like, yes, it's pretty, but they have, like, they have a message that they're trying to portray.
Yeah.
You get? So is always the hardest for any startup. And I think, yeah, for art, you know, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I answered your question.
Thanks, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So, Modi, you're taking art mainstream. You're trying, maybe I'm wrong here, but...
Exactly.
Yeah, you're trying to commoditize art, like... At the same time, make this intellectual stimulation happen, because people get to appreciate art side by side with everyday things, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to make art normal. You know, like with music, how everybody always listens to music and anybody is able to have that, like, have that song and everything. I think art should be like that. Any form of art should be like that. You should be able to, like, get it and be like, okay, I like this and I want to be a part of it in some way and take it with you and stuff and let it be in your daily life. Because, okay, just imagine the world with no music. Everybody just be like, that's such a bad world. Do you know what I'm saying? Such a depressing world.
I have a bit of a theory on this, because I feel like in the past, our ancestors, being from Africa, we never created art or any of the design artifacts as something that was placed in one place where you had to go and see it. It was always something to do with how they lived. So it was either religious art or you lived the art basically. But we've come to the point where there are galleries and museums, you go there and you see the art. Imagine that was how music was. You go there to listen to music, specific places. The world, as you say, would be really weird. So I definitely get.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I mean. That. Exactly. You're getting what I'm saying.
And cool.
You're totally understanding what I'm trying to say. And things. So,
but there could be another perspective to that. If you make art mainstream, I could end up stop seeing art. I mean, art just disappears because it's everywhere. So
then why is the music disappearing? No, I mean, like, you know, this is pop art. So so why is the music disappearing? And where has that ever happened that there's so much that it disappears?
I mean, you have a point there.
No, as in, I'm not trying to be... No, like, I'm just asking you. You tell me, please. Like, because I might make a mistake here, so...
No, I mean, like, I think something still has to stand out, right? I mean, it's the work of the artist to still make that stimulation happen. Yeah, I guess,
I mean, in the world of smartphones, you know how Apple stands out. Like, you still have to put the work into making that connection. And that's a lot of what user experience is about, you know. Let me sell myself here. regardless of what you do, you still have to make that connection. And that's what people would, you know, see to decide which one to go with and which one stands out and above. So, yeah, definitely get that. Cool. What's your typical process in creating your art? Like, where do you get inspired from and... What kind of mediums do you use to create? Do you do it alone? Is it just you in the studio or do you have people working with you?
And I have people working with me for administrative work, but not creative, like creating my pieces. No, I create my pieces by myself, except for like jewelry. Jewelry, like I do it as in I can do everything, but like if they're monotonous jobs, I'll be like, okay, you can do the polishing or you can do the sanding and stuff. But as in... the design, the creation of it, the major things that I want to do, like I like to have my hands on it, you know. Well, I have three things I specialize in. Is painting, writing, and jewelry, right? So they all have their different processes. First of all, I think what inspires me, it might sound cliche or sound like how do I say, a terrible, like, inspiration. Not terrible, not in a bad way, but everything inspires me. I can't pick something. It's like...
Fair enough.
You know what I'm saying? Inspires you. I can't say that, a book or something do you understand? But as in, like, I watch films, I read books, as in everyday life, you know, social constructs, like, all these things... like inspire me. Like I like things that, you know, if I see something that, okay, let's say there's a social construct that we're supposed to always believe in, I'll question that notion. I think like the idea of just questioning is my inspiration. Let's you know, just always questioning and trying to learn different things. Like my paintings have evolved. Like before, I would just paint more portraits and just portraits of different people and things. And then now I'm more like looking at, okay, like a theme.
Okay.
You know, a theme and then try to like analyze that theme, you know. My latest collection, which is called Guns, Adire, and Flowers, was about, as in, so how'd I say it? I really like Adire and I want to explore Adire more, right? Okay. And the different patterns and stuff. So I went through books, I looked at the different meanings and patterns of it. I did a course, like I got somebody to teach me about how to do adire. Do you understand? So I get more of an understanding of it. Like, so there are two types of adire. There's adire eleko and there's batik adire. So I learned about that. I learned about the process. I then, like, with guns, I got a book. I saw, like, all the book, like, different guns of different eras and things. And then flowers. I looked for our local flowers, the flowers that are grown in Nigeria and things. So I combined all of those things and created my own art, you know? So that's how that process was, you know? So jewelry is normally going to be inspired by the fine arts. So I will take like something like the Guns Adire collection and make something of from like derived from that inspiration. Okay. Because I want the fine arts to be part of your everyday life. And so somebody that likes jewelry and likes the art can be like, oh, I can get this jewelry, which was part of the arts that connected with me.
Cool stuff.
So I take that and then I design something from it. I then make it and voila, that's it. There isn't much of a process per se. I guess like the most process is like gathering the material and stuff. So I go through the material, like I look through the jewelry shops and stuff and look at, okay, the beads I want, do I want to work with silver, like what kind of like do I want to use and things. So you know, with that, things change, like design changes slightly and things. I also have to do like a test with like using cheap metal like copper. Do you understand? Because I can't just go straight to silver because silver is expensive and I can't waste it. I can't waste that material and things before I then like finesse it with silver and things. So the next one is writing. Writing is very, very fluid because you're just looking at a blank piece of paper and you're supposed to just write, like create a story. So it's normally derived, like my writing is normally derived from, like I said, like ideas and things of like when I'm questioning something. There was this story that I wrote about a woman, like these characters, woman, alcohol and water. And I used alcohol. Alcohol and water were two men that emulated like the traits of of their names. Water, and then you know, water was calm, you know, collective, and just staying the same. While alcohol was very erratic and strong-minded and stuff. And then the woman had to choose who she wanted to be with. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, and so with that characters, I then like kind of explore, I write and explore what I'm trying to say. I think like with writing, there's this thing I was taught like a long time ago, which I had been doing, which was weird. I was like, okay, I understand it more. It's called universal truth. There's this truth that you're trying to figure out in the story of, okay, why are you writing this story? And what are you trying to say to everybody else? And that's what you're trying to figure out as you write and explore. And it's a very cathartic experience. I would say that's like my most powerful art form. Yeah.
So how do people get your stories? Like, do you publish it? Where do they go?
Yes, about that. I'm sorry. Like, I haven't, like, I published one like years ago on this day newspaper, but as in I'm still like figuring out how I'm going to get published and stuff like that. I can't just put it on the internet or something, because like publishers have a problem with things being already like published online and stuff, so I have to look for a publisher to publish it and stuff like that, or work on a newspaper or something.
I think Antonia is also publishing something, right, Antonia?
Try not to, you know, be too involved myself. I did start a digital publishing platform, which I'm trying to build up. But I have to say, though, I was at a publishing event recently and the publishers from like a random house, for example, said, they want to see stuff online, actually. They want to see that people are doing things, not necessarily the piece they are going to publish, but they want to see your writing, the way you do stuff online. So that attracts them to actually pick up your work, because it can be hard to just go straight to them with a piece. But you need
to publish it in a publishing thing online.
You guys like in a magazine, like, or
a reputable place, right?
Okay.
Do you get what I'm saying? So even to find that is not easy.
No, definitely, you want to see your work being acknowledged from a
place.
I wanted to ask how, you know, the whole digital movement is affecting your work as an artist. Do you, like, in this process you mentioned, they start off in your mind? Do they end up in, you know, digital medium and all that kind of stuff?
I do some digital paintings. And so digital paintings are on the computer. I paint on the computer and stuff, using Photoshop and stuff.
For the art to go on, you know, phone cases, tote bags, it has to be digitized in some form.
I take a picture of it and then I put it on the, like, I use my supply, my manufacturer, to put it on the cases and stuff. Yeah.
Cool. So I have two last questions. I know we're sort of out of time, but one question is, what's the future? How can you scale your business? Are you thinking of having more people to come in? Are you thinking of teaching people art? You know, what's the future looking like in terms of helping others in Nigeria, for example? That's my question.
Okay. Like, I feel like with what I'm doing, I'm already helping the society, like helping people more, like connect with art, connect with their intellectual, like, thinking and stuff like that. So
where can we find your work? Is it just online, or do you have art?
I have a website, studioofmude.com. At studioofmude.com, you can get my address of my studio, where you can see my physical art and get cases and all that thing, all everything else.
So that's
all right, thank you.
studioofmode.com. Mode, it's been a pleasure having you on this episode of Digital Drift. And thank I think you. There's a lot really for anyone interested in art or interested in technology to, you know, take from this episode. You've mentioned a lot of things that, you know, I think people should, you know, kind of look at how, you know, they could integrate this into their own process and, you know, make the world a better place. A more artistic world, I think.
Thank you.
You are, you know, seriously following your passion in the arts, and the whole market and the whole business would definitely follow into, I mean, it would grow gradually as long as you keep putting great work out there. And I like the approach of trying to commoditize the whole art and make it everywhere so that, you know, people see art like part of their everyday life. It's impressive work you're doing, Mode. Okay, so thanks a lot, and thank you for always being there, Antonio.
Thank you.
So, ladies and gentlemen, until next time, see you later. Bye.
Bye.